The Wally Show podcast is our daily radio show heard live through the WayFM app each morning and hosted by Wally, Gavin, and me, Betty Rock. For more fun, be sure to connect with us at wayfm.com/Wally.
The Wally Show podcast is brought to you by Colorado Christian University Online, where you can earn a degree online just like Betty Rock. You can learn more at ccu.edu/Wally. Things you didn't know you needed to know today. It's News-ish with Betty.
In our current economy, it seems like we're paying a lot for pretty much everything. But there are some things that, despite the cost, we're willing to pay the most because it's worth it. I found a social media thread where people are talking about the items they're willing to pay more for. So okay. I want to see if you agree with these. It includes, the first one, I think you would agree with this, experiences like concert tickets or a vacation where you can create lasting memories and happiness.
I have gotten better about this. I would rather do vacations as gifts for my family than stuff, you know, because stuff breaks, you forget about it, but the vacations are, those experiences are things you hold. So I do value those, and I think that they are, I think it's a good investment in your family and in yourself personally.
I agree. The second one I definitely agree with, and that is movers.
So instead
of buying a bunch of pizza and Coke and hoping that your friends are going to show up, you spend the money on the movers. Because I'll tell you what, I had to move out of a third story apartment that had no elevator.
Okay? I remember.
It was just stairs. Yeah, Wally and a couple of people from work helped me move in. But when I was moving out, I hired movers.
And we all thanked you.
Yes. It was worth every penny. I even did that with my last move. I was like, I don't even want to think about it. I just want to hire movers.
When you're young, you call in all your friends and you know it's just part of it. They're going to help you move. You're going to help them move. It's just part of it. And it's great and it's fine. But you get to a certain age where you're like, just let the professionals. Because I've still wanted to move to a different house. And I stood in my garage the other day and looked at like all my tools and everything. And I'm like, there's no way I would do this myself again. I'm too old. Like, now, like, I couldn't lift half the things.
Now.
Oh, absolutely. But, I'm going to hurt myself.
But I don't know what that age range is. I know, Gavin, you're slowly entering into that age range.
I think your 20s are for going to everyone's wedding and doing that kind of stuff.
Right.
Where I've done it million times.
So maybe once you enter 30s. Your 30s, it's like, okay, I'm going to call the movers.
Like if you're in your 30s and someone says, hey, can you help me move? I just get them a gift card to like two men in a truck.
Yeah. And then finally, I think we all would agree with this. A quality sleeping situation. Mm. You're willing to spend the money on that good mattress, those pillows, and those sheets.
I don't know what it is. Like we spent money on a good mattress, but then like I wake up and my shoulder is sore like all the time. I go on vacation and I sleep on random mattresses and my shoulder feels great. Like, and I spent money on this bed and I'm like, and I've literally taken pictures of the mattress tags that I've slept on and went, why do we not buy this? You know, because this other thing that was supposed to be really good is hurting me.
Wow.
Buying a mattress is one of the most frustrating things. You lay on it and you're like, okay, I think this is good. You lay on 30 mattresses and you kind of pick one that you're not sure about. And then they're like, it's fine. You can return it. I don't think anyone's ever returned a mattress because you don't want to be that person.
And you don't test run, you know, you don't go to the store and lay there for 8.5 hours.
Exactly.
I need to take a nap on this mattress.
Next time I buy a mattress, I'm showing up in my pajamas and I'm just going to watch TV and just like, you know, I'm settling here for a minute, sir.
Gavin's a threat. He's understated and underrated, but I think he could steal this game.
Uplifting WayFM. This is the Wally Show. We're going to play a little round of Will Gavin Get It? I have a couple things that he's going to have to fill in the blank on. He's younger, and so these are references that he may or may not know. Sometimes he surprises me with what he does know and what he doesn't know.
Exactly. Like, I think there was one time where we mentioned Britney Spears, and he was like, who? Do I spell that name?
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding me?
Leave Britney alone!
So here's an example. We'll do an example right now. So Gavin, if I were to say baby, sporty, ginger, scary, and blank, Betty Rock, do you think he could fill that in?
No. There's no way.
Okay. Do you know what it is?
Yes.
Can you say it?
Baby, sporty, ginger, scary, and...
I have zero.
Oh my gosh.
Do you know who? Do you at least know who those other people are?
Baby, sporty... Oh. Yeah. Aren't they the Spice Girls?
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's missing one Spice Girl.
Ice? No.
Ice Spice. Ice Spice. Ice is not a spice.
It starts with a P. Hmm. She wore a lot of black.
She's married to David Beckham. You're a sports guy.
Oh, really? I picture her.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It's pompous? Posh.
It's Posh Bites. Oh. Betty's like, oh, my gosh, enough.
Everybody knows.
No, I'm not a Spice Girl guy.
I'm not either, but everybody should know.
These are things that, you know, but he could have come up with it because, you know, you just don't know what Gavin knows. And so you don't have to know more than Gavin. You're just going to guess whether he's going to get it or not. That's how we play the game. If you'd like a chance to win a prize, 855-33-WAY-FM is what you can call. 855-33-WAY-FM for a little Will Gavin Get It.
Gavin's a threat. He's understated and underrated, but I think he could steal this game.
Uplifting WAY-FM. This is the Wally Show. We're doing a little Will Gavin Get It with you, Michael. Now, you don't have to know more than Gavin because that's impossible, but you just have to guess whether or not Gavin is going to get it right. Now, these are things that Gavin may or may not be in his wheelhouse. We don't know. He's a young guy, but like sometimes he surprises me with what he knows. Number one, here you go. I'll give you a hint. It's a band. Steely Blank, okay? Ooh. Steely Blank. Now, do you think he's going to get this right or wrong, Michael?
I think wrong.
Betty would get this right instantly.
For sure.
So you think wrong. Gavin, can you fill in that blank? Steely?
I think I can. Is it Steely Dan?
Steely Dan is right!
What?
I don't know anything about Steely Dan. I couldn't tell you a song or anything like that, but I've heard the name in my 28 years of life.
Okay, all right. Well, see, there you go. Okay, so no point there, Michael. Number two is, finish this sentence, Gavin. Wanna be starting. Now, do you think he's going to get this right or wrong?
I think he'll get it right.
Okay, you think he'll get it right.
This is also tied to music.
Yep, it's a line from a song. Yep.
Oh, wow.
If I sang it, he would get it in a second.
I don't know.
I think, you don't think so? Wanna be starting?
Oh.
That didn't help.
No, not really.
And believe it or not, it's a man that sings this.
Yeah,
song.
I know. You wanna be starting? And it's two syllables. We're trying to help you.
A fight?
Wanna be starting a fight? No, it's wanna be starting something.
Michael Jackson.
Really?
The king of pop.
I know Thriller. That's
okay,
it.
Well, let's see if you get this one right. Walker, Texas, blank. Is he gonna get this right or wrong, Michael?
He'll get it right.
He should. If not, we will hire Chuck Norris to come pummel him. So, Walker, Texas.
For my safety's sake, Ranger.
Ranger is right. There you go. And because I like Michael, I doubled the points on that one. And Michael, you're a winner today.
Great. Thank you very much.
3, 2, 1.
Uplifting WAY-FM, this is the Wally Show. I'm going to do a little 3-2-1 here. This is where I take a situation that has some choices, and I ask Betty and Gavin to rank them in order of seriousness from 3 to 1, okay?
So 1 is the most serious.
Yeah, like the 1 is the thing that bothers you the most or would affect you the most. So if you are out and you are eating with somebody, and this is kind of the 3 things that tend to bother most people in eating situations, okay? Mm-hmm. So licking your fingers clean, like watching someone do that. Chewing with your mouth open.
Oh, jeez.
Or being rude to the server. Put those in order from least to worst in your brain. 3, 2, 1. Licking your fingers, chewing with your mouth open, or being rude to the server.
Okay.
So, you got it?
Gavin, we'll go
with you. Yeah, I think that this one's pretty easy.
See if you guys
me.
Match mine or not.
Okay, so I think for me personally, the thing that least impacts me is somebody... This is somebody else licking their fingers?
Yes.
Yeah. That doesn't bother me. I'm a finger licker on my own.
If you've been to like a wing place, you have no options.
You have to.
You do have options.
No.
They give you the little wet wipes and they give you napkins.
But...
You can't use a wet wipe every time, like you go to get a drink. I always hate at the wing place where you have to like grab the drink with your palms and your fingers out trying to serve it.
Are you a child?
Yes, you have to lick your fingers.
That's just the avenue with which you eat. But then what's worse than that is...
Stop.
Hearing that noise. Obviously, that's... But then, come on, being like mean to people, rude to your server, that's awful. Don't do that.
So you go, licking your fingers is chewing with your mouth open, fine, but rude to the server, 3. That's, okay.
the worst.
I agree. Okay. Betty Rock, where
honestly,
did you go?
Honestly, I might sound selfish, she but doesn't I'm care going about with the server. Complete opposite.
I knew it. I knew it.
Okay, I don't like that you're being rude to the server, but honestly, it doesn't affect me as much as the smacking would. I will lose my mind if I see you over there. I imagine myself on a first date or whatever. He's rude to the server. Okay, that's flag number one. Okay. Licking his fingers?
Yeah.
Huge flag number two.
Number two.
And
okay.
then if he is smacking, like if he is a mouth breather, it's over. It's done. I cannot handle it.
Because most people, it's funny, because most people use being rude to the server as a barometer for a date. Like is this a person I want to be with? But the fact that you're like, oh, they probably deserve that. But stop licking your fingers and chewing with your mouth open.
I can't. Okay. I honestly can't.
That is fascinating to me.
At least I know myself.
I know. I think you might have a touch of misophonia, and it's a real thing. It's where sounds bother you, and it makes you not only agitated by it, but angry. And I think you actually might have it. Look it up. It's called misophonia.
Okay, Gavin.
See?
I'm going to backhand you.
Exactly.
Right now.
That's my point. I think you need help.
I wasn't even listening. I was listening to podcasts.
Every day on the podcast, it's something we do. We finish the show, and as soon as the mics turn off here, we turn them on for the podcast, and we record new stuff every day that you can get. If you like the show, and this is like a longer form version of the show with new content and no music.
Yeah, just text TWS, the letters TWS, which stand for The Wally Show, to 91979, and we will send you a link. That's TWS to 91979.
One of my favorite parts of the podcast, though, is when people just ask us questions. So, like, usually most days we'll take a question from people that they've asked, and I thought this one was a pretty good one.
We have a question. This one is from Grace. Okay. She said, if you could be any bear,
whoa,
polar, grizzly, or black,
there's a lot of options,
which would you be and why?
I got one.
Okay, Gavin, we'll start with you.
Okay, I don't know if anyone, I want panda.
She didn't mention panda, but pandas have it so easy.
They have it
easy.
So easy. Yeah. They goof around. Yeah. They get
and
taken care
so
of.
I saw one where it said something like, if you have mom guilt, just remember this mom panda gave away her baby for an apple. So they needed the mama panda to let them test a couple of things on her baby. And so how to get the baby away from the mom, they just gave her an apple.
Oh,
she took the apple and gave them the baby. Yeah. She did not care.
If it makes you feel any better, this mom did.
That's pretty great. I love that.
Yeah, panda, that's a good one. That's a good one. What would you choose, Wally?
Probably I'd love to be a grizzly, but I don't think I would be able to. So probably.
Why?
I don't know. I just can't live up to that grizzly life. So probably koala.
They're pretty lazy. They sit back.
They all look like they have dad bod. that's my spirit animal, koala. All right, so if you ever want to check out the podcast, we actually will get into like some heavier stuff sometimes and some long-form conversations about stuff going on in the world or personal life stuff. So it kind of runs the gamut. It's maybe worth checking out. If you like this show, you might want to check that out as well. Just text the words or the letters TWS, that's TWS, The Wally Show, TWS, to 91979, and we will send you a link. Most big changes start from the inside and then they work their way out. It starts with an idea in your head or a passion in your heart, and then you take the steps to turn that thought or dream into reality. That happened for Betty Rock when she decided to go back to school at Colorado Christian University.
I had always wanted to get a college degree, and I didn't get just one, I got two. And trust me, I am using my psychology degree every day working with Wally.
Wait, what?
Oh yeah, it's happening.
Well, CCU apparently gave Betty Rock the tools she needs, and Colorado Christian University can do the same for you. They can turn you inside out and help make your educational dreams a reality.
Right now, Colorado Christian University is offering you a chance to win a $10,000 or a $5,000 scholarship towards an associate, bachelor's, or master's degree offered 100% online.
And just for entering, you can get a $1,000 scholarship. So text CCU to 91979. Contest ends April 11th.
Colorado Christian University, cultivating the mind without compromising the heart.
If you want something that feels different from the regular news, we've got you covered. It's News-ish on The Wally Show.
So the eclipse is coming next week.
Once upon a time I was falling in love, but now we're only falling apart.
Eclipses are really cool to see if you've never seen one before.
Nothing I can do, a total eclipse of the heart.
I mean, everything gets dark. And actually, you did. And actually cold for a couple minutes. Do you remember when we saw the last one?
Yeah, and it was. Everything got cold. And what was weird to me, too, was the birds stopped chirping immediately. And you could hear those bugs. Like, they just started, I don't know. It was
weird. Interesting that you mentioned the birds and animals. Well, I found an article that at first I thought, oh, this could be helpful when, you know, you have pets during the eclipse.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, okay, how to keep your pets safe during the solar eclipse. So what? I thought, oh, I know. I thought, well, what is there? If there's something I don't know, I must read this entire article in depth so that I can share this with people. I am a pet owner, so this must be valuable. Well, the article said, if you want to keep your pets safe during the eclipse, the same guidelines apply as for humans. Do not let them look directly at the solar eclipse.
I thought,
this is really good advice. I wonder if there's a way to make that happen. And then they went on to break down how you should leave them inside. Yes, like... This is some expert wrote this article.
Well, and also too, how have dogs made it this far?
Okay, this is fascinating that you bring this up, because in this article, they went on to say, you know, it's really not a problem for dogs or cats because they instinctively do not look at the sun. Like, so somebody got paid to write an entire article about keeping your pets, that's the headline, keep your pets safe during the solar eclipse. And you're like, oh, I need to read this. And as you read through it, they just waste every bit of your time to literally tell you it's not going to be a problem for your dog or cat. You don't have to worry about them because they're not going to do it anyway. But the headline says I need to worry about them. But in here it says, no, you don't have. Clickbait. Clickbait got me. Mm-hmm. And then they did say that, that if you really are concerned about it, just leave them inside. And the odds are they're going to sleep through it and not worry about it. If you're super duper concerned about it, you can leave the radio on for them and a light to comfort them.
Wait, we haven't even asked Gavin. Gavin has two dogs. Are you worried about this?
No, I didn't. I haven't put any ounce of thought towards the eclipse in my pets.
Yeah, that's the thing, man. Like, this article, the reason I'm bringing up, it's less about the article to me, but it's more about the mentality of how we are today. We overthink, we use fear tactics, then we actually think we're doing something by having a conversation, but it turns out to be a conversation about nothing that only serves to make us feel better, to make it look like we're doing something. And if we do this about our pets, no wonder our kids are a mess. No wonder our kids can't function today. Because we're scaring them to death and then having no point to it.
It's just a solar eclipse.
Like, I know.
How did you get on a soapbox? Let's just enjoy it.
I know. That's the thing. They took all the fun out of the solar eclipse for me. So there you go. I just wanted to make sure that you are aware that for your pets, you're going to see articles. There's absolutely nothing to worry
about. Don't click on it.
Yeah, there's nothing to worry about. I'm going to save you a few minutes out of your life there. I love it when someone puts something that you have felt into words that you're like, oh, that's exactly the way I would have said it. And I love this. Hey, it's the Wally Show. And we were in church the other day, and the pastor shared a quote from D.A. Carson, who I have no idea who D.A. Carson is. I'm not a theologian. I don't know. But I really liked what they said. It said, people do not drift towards holiness. People do not gravitate towards godliness. Prayer, obedience, or scripture, or to faith, or delight in the Lord. We drift towards compromise and call it tolerance. We drift towards disobedience and call it freedom. We drift towards superstition and call it faith. Like, that is
drop the mic.
So poignant for where we're at in our country today and in our personal lives. I mean, our country has some big issues. Especially with like superstition and call it faith, because we just trade in truth for whatever truth we want it to be, and then we call that good, you know. But the thing about not gravitating towards godliness or scripture or faith, I think that happens a lot. That's something I've always talked to my daughter about when she was little, and I'm like, you know, you have to be intentional in your faith, because if you are not, you will find yourself drifting away. Or if you have a lot of people around you that are negative, you will find yourself drifting towards that. And so you have to be careful who is in your life and in your really close sphere.
Yeah, because our sinful nature is going to automatically pull us away from God.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think when you talk about faith with people, Who maybe didn't grow up in church, and you're like, we're all sinners. And they're like, wait, no, babies are born good. No, they have to be taught to share, you know? Mm-hmm. And we, if you look at ourselves at our base, tend to be very selfish, and we tend to not gravitate towards good things. That's why we have rules and laws and things like that. But, you know, when you hear people say, man is basically good, that is counter to what the Bible says, you know? Mm-hmm. And if you look at it honestly, man, a lot of times, is not basically good. We have our moments, mm-hmm. obviously, but there are a lot of times that unless we are intentional, we drift, you mm-hmm. know? And so that's what we kind of want to talk about, that we'll use this conversation as the springboard for this. 855-33-WAY-FM. That's 855-33-WAY-FM. What was that drift in your life? And what, did it start with something small? I know for me, drifting away from faith was a small thing, and it was music, you know, like I started listening to different music mm-hmm. that started to take my focus off of my faith and, you know, put it onto other things. And that led to something else and something else and something else. And, you know, and before you know it, you're like, man, I'm way away from the Lord here, you know? And so that's mine. What's yours? What was that drift in your life and how did you correct it? 855-33-WAY-FM. That's 855-33-WAY-FM. We love having you on the show with us. That's the number you can dial to get right through right now. 855-33-WAY-FM. What was your drift and how did you correct it? Because I think it happens in our faith to most of us at one point in time or another.
I think my drift was somewhere in my early 20s. I decided just to not go to church on a Sunday morning because I was tired or sick or whatever. And then the next Sunday morning, I decided I wasn't going to go, and then the next Sunday morning, and then after just, I think it was just a few months, like, I stopped thinking about going to church.
Yeah, and then before you know it, that few months turns into a year, and then you, like, one day you're uh-huh. like, man, why do I not feel good? Why am I sad? Why am I not settled? And you're like, oh, I haven't been in church in a year, you know, and then you, yeah. you go back.
Yeah, and for a while, the people from the church were reaching out to me, hey, Steph, how are you? Are you, you know, we miss you at church. Are you going to come back? And then I don't think that lasted very long, though. And then they stopped reaching out. And that's a problem.
So, Steph, what do you think would have happened had they kept checking on you and getting you to come to church?
I think I would have went back a lot sooner. Sometimes I felt like the church that I was going to was very legalistic. It felt like you had to follow the rules to be in line. And that was how you got God's grace. And if it had been more of a heart issue, like if they were like, hey, we miss you, we want to see you.
Yeah.
Instead of you need to be in church.
Interesting.
You know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. The message is just as important as checking in on you too. So I love it. That's a great example of how drift happens in our lives. Steph, thanks for being on the show with us today.
You're welcome. God bless.
Kedra, have you ever found yourself drifting in your faith a little bit and why?
Oh, yeah. So I got in a relationship and it just kind of went left. He just kind of brought me down and I lost my touch, lost my faith in everything. But I kind of picked myself up and went back to church and asked God that day to remove this person from my life. He's not supposed to be there. And as soon as I got home from church, he came in and basically broke up with me. So lesson learned, don't ask God for anything that you're truly not ready for.
You're like, wow, Lord, that was fast. How many years have I been praying for the lottery numbers? And this is the one you answer.
Kedra, what would you say to any other woman that might be in a similar situation, or man too, I guess, finding themselves in a situation where their relationship is dragging them further away from their faith?
I would say we all know where we're supposed to be, and we know right from wrong. And when God speaks to you, be obedient and listen, because he could be saving you from really anything.
Yeah, and it's crazy that something that seems good on the surface, like just a relationship, can be the thing that actually becomes the thing that is between you and your relationship with God. Because not all bad things keep us from our faith. Sometimes it's a hobby. Sometimes it's work or whatever. Sometimes it's our family, people we love, that when anything gets between us and our relationship with God, that can be a problem. And so I really appreciate you sharing your story with us today, Kedra. You're the best. Thank you.
Thank you. You have a great day.
Please pray for my dad, who was just diagnosed with stage 4 bone cancer. He's not a believer. Hey, it's the Wally Show. And that's just one of the prayer requests sitting on our prayer wall from Lori right now. She's like, please pray that the Holy Spirit softens his heart and gives him comfort and courage and hope in Christ. So you've got somebody that you love that's already facing a difficult situation like cancer, But then not being a believer adds a whole nother layer to it, because you worry about not only their, you know, health, but their salvation as well. And, you know, you know she's shared her faith with him and prays for him and stuff, but then what can you do? And sometimes that all you can do is ask other people to join you in prayer for that person.
Yeah.
And it brings you peace too. That's the cool thing about the prayer wall.
Yeah. When you go to wayfm.com, you can see it there. Or when you text the word pray to 91979, we'll send you a link. But there you can post any requests you have. And like a community of people, they all come together and we pray for you. Click that little box and that says we've prayed for you. And you get a notification on your phone that says, hey, somebody prayed. And that might give you the positive energy that you need to go throughout your day, because who knows what you're facing.
Yeah, and that's the thing. On average, I've been told that it's about 17 people pray for one prayer request.
Which is great.
I mean, because we have millions of prayers. We try to track all of this as much as we can, because we just want to see it grow and see how it's doing. And there's millions of prayers being offered up for these prayer requests every year. And so, like, if you're thinking about it and you post a prayer request and maybe you even forget about it, and then 3 hours later, ding, you know, you get a notification. It's like, and I'm telling you, it'll probably hit you at just the right time, and you'll think, yes, wow, that's amazing. That's a God moment, you know, that I think God gives you what you need when you need it most. And so if you're in that place where you kind of don't know what to do and you just want other people to join you in prayer for something, the prayer wall is a great place to do it. Now, if you post a prayer request, here's what I would encourage you to do as well. Post your prayer requests. That's great. But look through them, and you might find somebody else that's going through something similar or something else that you've gone through, and you can pray for that person. Because be part of the circle of life, as you will, if you will. You know, like, you're posting something, but then pray for somebody else and give them that notification and that feeling that they're being heard too, because it's going to happen for you as well. It's a really great circle. You know, we talk about vicious cycles. This is a great scripture cycle, like a scriptural, I don't know.
I think I'm picking up what you're putting
down. Yeah, it was a stretch on the analogy.
Yeah, for sure.
But what I'm getting to is it's a great circle, and you can be a part of it. All you have to do is text the word pray to 91979, and we'll send you a link.
Okay, stay close. Let's go.
Good day to you. It's Joel with the King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters April 26th.
But look around you, David. Your family, your faith, they're not in the way. They are the way.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime.
There's no food and we're almost out of money. We need to make some changes. Kids, we need your help.
It's a powerful true story that circles around miracles and about a family uniting and growing in their faith, facing the impossible together.
It's going to be dangerous and scary. It's going to be so hard that you want to go back.
The movie also features our brand new song, Unsung Hero.
You're an unsung hero. So I'll sing this song for you.
Giving up, it's not an option.
In theaters beginning April 26th, join us in making opening night a family day at the theaters.
It's today's Music Insider, or TMI, with Gavin.
Danny Gokey probably has one of my favorite voices in Christian music. You might know him from this song.
It's like the brightest sunrise.
Very soulful, raspy. Yeah, I like Danny.
And if you...
Wait, who is that guy that you said he used to sound like?
Oh,
Michael Bolton. Oh, yeah. He's the Christian Michael Bolton.
We all need him. And if you follow Danny Gokey on social media, this dude is, you know, all about his family. And he's really passionate about talking about the Bible, like, with a lot of clarity. And I loved what he had to say after reading from Proverbs 12.
Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to counsel. It says, who hates correction is stupid. Those are not my words. That's the word of God. Correction is not judgment. We live in a world where many people, if you correct them on how they think and the way that they're living, they think that you're judging them. But think about it like this as correction. If you're on a plane and you're trying to go from LA to Miami, there are many course corrections that have to happen to make sure that you hit that destination in the air. If you're trying to get to an intended destination of joy, of peace, of a good life of happiness, there's corrections that have to be made along the way. You have to watch out not to get offended by correction.
Now, I do like that he said, let the Bible be your correction, yes, you know, because, like, I don't want Rick telling me what to do, honestly.
Rick is the worst.
Yeah, because Rick, you get that log out of your own eye, okay? Yeah. And, you know, but I think people in your life having the ability to allow them to speak into your life is important. I don't let random strangers tell me, oh, you're wrong, you know,
right?
Because I once had a pastor tell me, no relationship, no influence, mm-hmm. you know, because they need to know you. And if they have a relationship with you, then they should have influence over you. And taking correction is not easy to do sometimes.
No, and you need to have that trust.
Exactly.
That they're looking out for your well-being, which yeah. is why I never listen to whatever Wally is telling
me. I know. Like, it, for me, like, seriously, though, like, my wife will try to course correct me on things. And there was a lot of years that I had a problem with that. Like, I'm arrogant enough or egotistical enough to think I know everything. And so, like, I don't take correction well. So, according to that scripture, I'm stupid. Which,
well, we knew that.
Right, exactly. Betty's like, welcome to our page. But when I learned that it wasn't my wife trying to control me, it was legitimately my wife caring about me and looking out for my best interest and being honest enough to share with me these things, it changed how I saw it. I didn't see it as controlling or rebuke. I saw it as love, you know, but that's where the trust that comes in that you're talking about, Rock. I have to trust that she does have my best interest at heart yeah. and that she is not seeking her own, you know, agenda, you know, and that comes in time in a relationship where this person has proven you time and time and time again that they are for you. And that's why people who have relationships without a lot of trust, I feel bad for them, because how do you build anything mm-hmm. without having the base point of trust to then be able to grow together and help speak into each other's lives? So there you go. That's great advice from Danny Gokey today. And that's going to do it for your TMI.
Fly with me. Let's fly away.
Airline fees have gotten completely out of control. Hey, it's the Wally Show. And I do have to say this, though. There is one fee I came across recently that I could actually get on board with. Now, it's from Frontier Airlines, who charges you for everything.
Oxygen?
Yeah, you want to take a breath on the plane, that's $25, you know. So I'm not a fan of that. But this was interesting. They are experimenting with being able to buy the middle seat next to you and not have anyone sit in between you. I would love that.
How much more is it?
That's the thing. I would have thought it would be very expensive, but they're saying that they're doing like an introductory thing, and it's $49.
So for $50 yes. more, you can be guaranteed that no one is going to be in your space.
Yes. I mean, because you're not fighting over the armrest. You have that extra space in between for putting stuff under the seat in front of you. Like, and then you can lift the armrest up and you can meld into the seat next to you a little bit. It's glorious. Like, if you're on a longer flight and you want to twist a little bit to get more comfortable,
yeah.
your hip isn't hitting anybody. Like, for $50, that's worth it. Now, it's introductory, so I don't know how long that's going to last. They just get you hooked on the idea, and then they probably... Because why would you sell a seat for $50 that you could sell for $300?
Yeah, it seems like they're losing money from this thing.
Yeah, and then, like, if, like, say the person on the aisle spends the $50, if you're the person on the window, you just got it for free.
Right.
You know, so, like, that's a bonus. So I'm not sure how this is going to work out, but of all the fees that airlines have chosen to charge recently, I'm like, this one I could actually get on board with.
Like, so, I know you can... nothing gets you more angry
than
talking about the baggage fees that come with airlines these days.
Yeah.
And so you complain constantly about it, but yeah. this is a fee,
yeah.
an airline fee that you would actually get behind.
Because it's a benefit.
It's worth my money.
Right. They're giving you a benefit here. The other stuff, they're just taking more money from you.
No, they're getting your stuff to where you
need
to
go. They always did that before. It was part of the thing. JetBlue is messing around with surge pricing for baggage now.
Uh-oh, like, here he goes.
Oh, yeah, don't get me started. Airlines drive me nuts. They're a necessary evil, unfortunately, in our society. So I am curious, though, okay? So this is a thing I would pay for. Is there something, like, if you were to make up a fee for something on an airline that you would pay for, okay? You're like, you know what? If they would charge me X amount of dollars for this on an airline, I would gladly play it. Something to make your experience better.
I know what mine would be.
Oh, what?
So if they had, picture it, right, as you're boarding, okay? They're like, for $50 more, we have this huge bullseye target. You stand in front of it, and we are going to hit you with the tranquilizer gun, and it's going to take you out. And we will drag your lifeless body off the plane,
yes.
and then you'll be magically in your destination.
Yes.
Oh, Oh, gladly.
Yes.
I'd say, here's 100. Give me 2 just because others don't work.
You know, and then I'd throw in, give her 3. Just see what happens. That is a great idea. Yeah, if they would tranquilize you to get you to your next destination and then just prop you up when you get there.
Yes.
Absolutely love it. That's ingenious. That's what we're looking for. That kind of forward thinking here in the Shark Tank. 855-33-WAY-FM. That's 855-33-WAY-FM. What is a feature, a service, or something you would gladly pay for an airline to institute? What is something that if an airline charged you a little bit more, you would gladly pay for?
I think if they could put a little play area in the back and take a couple seats out and put my toddler back there so I could watch a movie instead of having to try to get him to sit still the whole flight.
Oh, like babysitting services. That would be great.
Yeah, so not only do you just want the area, you also want them to provide the service of someone watching your child for you.
Oh, yeah, that would be great. Then I could watch my new movies. Oh, yeah.
Now, Andy, have you thought about the turbulence situation? Like, how would you deal with the kids in the play area once turbulence
just
hits?
Just pad the ceiling. You're negative, Rock. You're, like, looking for ways to not make this happen.
I'm not thinking outside the box.
Yeah.
When you and Andy clearly are.
Yeah, Andy and I got this dialed in. It's fine. What other things would you be willing to pay an airline for other than the crazy things they're already charging us for now, Jackie?
Hey, I would pay for, like, a bubble for families with small children, for babies, like, some kind of soundproof.
Jackie, are you a parent yourself and that's why you want it?
I have 2 boys. They're grown.
Yeah.
I think flying can be difficult for people, and crying babies makes that even more difficult environment.
I would love to see, like, cones of silence could be great. If that was instituted, you could drop an air mask down. Why can't you drop a cone of silence?
Well, and I think the parents of the children would be thankful for it, too, because I'm sure they're stressed out trying to keep their kid from not crying so that it doesn't make other passengers
angry.
That's
true. We don't all need the cone. Just put the cone over them.
Yeah. Yeah,
that works, too.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Growing up in poverty has never been easy for children, but with the added challenges of the pandemic, conflict, and natural disasters, families around the world are facing an unprecedented food crisis. Unfortunately, those who are already hungry are now even more desperate. But by sponsoring a child through Compassion, you can help provide life-sustaining essentials such as food and clean water. And with your compassionate support, that child can not only survive, but also flourish. You can find out how and choose a child to sponsor when you click on the Compassion banner at wayfm.com.
Attention, please.
Uplifting Way FM. Celebrities are just like you and me. Except for the mansions, tigers, and sequins.
It's the Rock Report with Betty Rock.
I found an article where they laid out the odd connections that celebrities have with one another. And after reading it, it makes me believe Hollywood is its only little small world after all.
It's a small world.
So you're kind of talking about, like, you know how they used to do 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon?
Is it the same type thing? Well, it's not just with Kevin Bacon.
Right.
Like, it's, yeah, and it's crazy things that you never would have known of. So Mara Wilson, she's the child actor you know from Mrs. Doubtfire and Matilda.
Oh, you remember that little girl? Yeah, I do remember her, yeah.
Did you know that she's cousins with the conservative media bigwig Ben Shapiro?
Oh, no way, really?
Yes, she is. So they might see each other at family get-togethers, and they're like, hey, cousin.
And then you wonder, like, are her politics his politics? Like, growing up in Hollywood, which tends to be very left, and Ben slightly leans right.
Slightly. Okay. Here's another crazy one. Keanu Reeves.
Oh.
He's longtime friends with Dolly Parton.
What?
Yeah, because his mom did seamstress work for her.
No way.
So he knew her as a kid.
Oh, that's kind of fun.
I know. She could have been his godmother.
Yeah.
And we would have been like, wait, what?
Seriously.
The Keanu Reeves and Dolly Parton, long lost
friend. Connection.
And then finally, Martin Luther King Jr., he actually paid the hospital bills when Julia Roberts was born.
Wait, what? I've never
Martin
heard this
Luther?
Before.
Yeah.
Martin Luther King Jr.
Martin Luther what? King Jr. So Julia Roberts' parents, they owned a theater school.
Okay.
And they allowed King's daughters to go there. And back in that day, there were a lot of programs that weren't admitting black children.
Right, they were whites only. Yeah.
Yeah. And so Julia Roberts' parents were like, yeah, we would love to have them in our theater
class. I love
that. And so he was so grateful for it that he actually paid for the hospital bills when Julia was born.
That's crazy, because you wonder, too, how successful or not that school was. I mean, mm-hmm. Julia's become very successful,
yeah.
So the fact that he paid for her medical bills, maybe they weren't raking in a bunch of cash, but they were doing the right things.
And he paid it forward in a big way.
I love that. That's a great story. I've never heard that before, mm-hmm. and I love that. Well, there you go. That's going to do it for your Rock Report. Thank you, Lady Rock. Uplifting Way FM. This is The Wally Show, and you don't want to be known as being a judgmental person, but it's easy to fall into that trap sometimes, but then it can bite you too.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine tell me that she used to judge people for not putting their carts, their shopping carts, back into the wrangling cart.
The bin.
The bin, yeah. They would leave them out in the parking lot.
I judge people for this every day.
And I do too. But then she found herself one day with a screaming toddler. She's trying to get this toddler in his car seat. It's raining and she just needs to get everything in. She's rushed for time. And she said, I found myself leaving my cart out in the middle of the parking lot. And ever since then, she doesn't judge people anymore because she says you just don't know what they're going through.
She has a little more grace for people.
A little more compassion.
Okay. So a screaming child makes hypocrisy okay, apparently. Your friend's a hypocrite.
Okay,
well,
I'm glad you saw it too.
I did. Yeah, I learned the lesson. No, I've been there too. There's things that like I know in my life I have been very rigid about. Like, no, you cannot. No, no, no. And then all of a sudden, circumstances change and you find yourself being mm-hmm. the one that's doing the thing that you hated. And you're like, oh, I'm kind of a hypocrite here.
I think we've all found ourselves being judgmental about something and then you did it.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm not judgmental about it anymore.
Yeah, you, that's where you learned grace. And then where you learn empathy is when you mess up and when you need it. And mm-hmm. so I would be curious if you're brave enough to share a time that you took something that you used to judge, but you realized a certain layer of hypocrisy when you found yourself doing that very thing. And again, there's no judgment here on my part.
Well.
Yeah, see, Betty. 855-33-WAY-FM. That's 855-33-WAY-FM. I'm curious because I guarantee if you've done it, somebody else has been in that exact same place as well. 855-33-WAY-FM. We'll take your hypocrisy right now. Have you ever been in that place?
Mine was depression. So I always looked at people that were saying that they were depressed, you know, as like they were weak. And, you know, not strong enough to be optimistic and lift themselves out of that situation. Because to me, I couldn't be depressed. Like, I didn't know what depressed was until I became depressed. And then I was like, wow, I'm the one that's in the slumps. And I just felt so bad of the people that I've judged. Luckily now, I have empathy for those who were depressed. And the Lord's given me the grace to get out of it so I can hopefully show others.
I have to tell you, Ryan, that when we started having this conversation, this is not one of the scenarios I envisioned, but you're absolutely right. I mm-hmm. totally get this. And I actually kind of probably fall into pre-Ryan a little bit more. I side towards, hey, you know, I think too many people say they have anxiety when they're anxious or depressed when they're sad and they don't need all the medical help, you know, but then how do you make that determination for somebody, you know? And mm-hmm. and you really can't, because some people do need that, you know? And so it's easy to sit in judgment of that when you haven't walked it. And so the fact that you walked it and realize it and makes you have empathy for other people, that's a healthy thing. And that's definitely not what I saw us doing today. So thank you.
Thank the Lord.
When was there a time that you realized, okay, I might have been a little hypocritical or quick in my judgment here?
Okay, so when I was, you know, younger, before I had kids, I'd go to restaurants and I'd see all these kids on there, like, you know, tablets, iPhones, you know, parents giving their kids their phone. And I'm like, you know what? My kids are going to learn manners. They're going to have respect. You know, I'm going to make sure of that. Well, let me tell you, I have two. I have a 4-year-old boy and a 2-year-old boy. And I tell you what, if me and my husband want to enjoy a dinner at a restaurant, we give them a tablet and a phone.
I know.
And I just remember sitting, I'm like, I feel so bad because I used to judge, you know, those people. And here I'm doing it. I'm like, Lord, please forgive me. And now I have grace for for that.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Sometimes that's the only way you can enjoy a meal. Or I remember, like, I'm not going to let, you know, the TV and videos raise my child. And then you're like, I need 10 minutes. And you park him in front of the TV. Yep. And you can get something done or just decompress.
Enjoy a coffee, cup of coffee.
Yeah, exactly, you know? Yeah. I mean, it's definitely easy to judge parenting tactics until you are a parent.
It's so true.
And then it becomes apparent that you knew nothing about what you were talking about.
Oh my gosh, I know.
Have you ever been in that situation before?
Yes, I have. When I was younger, I would be in the store and I would see a child having a temper tantrum, throwing things, like just losing it. And I would think to myself, that kid needs a good taken out in the parking lot. I was like, oh, you know, you need to discipline that child. And then I ended up having a friend who had two children with autism. And I had learned so much and I delved into it more. And it actually intrigued me so much that I went into that field of working with kids with autism.
No way.
So now I want to tell people, you know, when they're in the store and they're giving that mom that look, that they may not know the full story. Little Johnny might need a little bit of discipline, but if little Johnny has autism and you were to do that to him, it is going to make it so much worse, not so much better.
Sure.
Because they just don't do things the way we do things. So don't judge them.
Yeah, I think empathy is one of the best lessons that we can learn. So if you've ever had your child melt down, then you understand, okay, I did everything I could do. I was doing all the right things. It just happens. And so you have a little grace for other people in their situation. But I love that it led you to working with kids with autism. That's amazing.
Judgment is probably one of the biggest things I struggle with. But every day I ask, good Lord, please help me with this struggle because I know you can overcome it.
Well, that's the end, but it doesn't have to be. Check out our Aftercast. It's new stuff you didn't hear in the podcast. Be sure to rate us on iTunes as well as connect with us on social media. Just search Wally Show. And if you'd like to join our Facebook group made exclusively for you potties, the link is in the description of this podcast. Thanks to Colorado Christian University Online for supporting what we do.